Amen. Peace of Christ be with you. Did you guys have a great fall break? Is it good? Trigger had a great one. I got on a jet plane, flew to the Pacific Northwest, went to my sister's wedding. Awesome. I saw people I hadn't seen in 20 years. It was really, really fun. So I'm back from a wedding. You're back from someplace. But we're back here together to launch into the second half of the semester, to love God with all that we have. As we step into this semester, it's my joy and privilege to introduce to you an emerging friend in my life, Scott Sherman. He is a missiologist of consequence. He is a church planner in urban areas in New York City and currently in San Francisco, where he is also involved in launching a new project of seminary education for lay people, but also for the church. And he is with us this morning. And a man who I just respect greatly. And it's his first time at Hope College. Yeah. It's significant. He needs to know about Hope College. I want him to know you and walk away saying, wow, these people love me. These people are serious about the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's give Scott a warm Hope College welcome.
My friend. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, and greetings from San Francisco, and seniors, just, I want to do a plug here. We do have a year-long internship program at Newbegin House of Studies, and if you want to come spend a year in San Francisco, get in touch. We'd love to have you. And I'm doing something first, you know, it was so cool to be able to come and speak at a college campus that I thought it was time for me to kind of live into my San Francisco-ness. And so for the very first time ever, I'm preaching from my iPad. I've never done that before. Half my congregation works for Google or Apple, and in honor of Steve Jobs, I'm going to try to preach from an iPad. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to read you a passage. I was trying to think about what to share with you today, and I thought back to my college years, and I mainly remembered not getting enough sleep. And so this passage about weariness comes to mind. I want to talk to you about weariness. You look pretty chipper right now, but I suspect there's some weariness out there. This is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The word of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask now that you would guide us as we reflect on this passage, to the end that we might know the rest that you offer. I ask this in your name. Amen. Now, when I say I was weary, I need to emphasize just how weary I was when I was your age. You see, it was college and then graduate school. I started noticing that in the afternoons, I just couldn't keep my eyes open. You know what I'm talking about. I just could not keep my eyes open. I was so tired, and it kept getting worse. And then not only that, I started having changes in my personality. It happened one day. I was in a first-year Greek course, and I looked at a Greek New Testament, and I spent about 5 minutes weeping because I would never really be able to master Greek, I realized. Now, how messed up is that? Okay, you realize that there's something wrong with you, and I think when I cried because I would never master Greek that I thought it's time to see a doctor. And so, and I also thought about pushing my roommate off the stairs. And that's when I thought, you know, there's just some, you know, Greek murder. This is just, is not healthy at all. So I go in to get checked out, and I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. And the doctor said, you know, you basically haven't had deep REM sleep in over a year. It's a wonder your roommate's not dead. So, you know, I tried a therapy that enabled me to sleep. And I want to tell you, the first night I got rest, I mean, it was like I woke up in a Disney movie, you know, with cartoon birds singing. It was just amazing because I had been completely deprived of rest. Jesus, in this text, actually says, first of all, you need to consider the state of your own soul. Consider the state of your own soul and whether or not you really are deeply rested. In the deepest self, in the center of your personality, are you rest-deprived, burdened, and weary? I like to think of my soul. May I talk to you about my soul for a minute? An image that I got actually from a Catholic priest that stuck is he described the soul as a psychic reservoir. You know, think of yourself as a reservoir. Are you imagining it? Reservoir. And here's the thing about that water. It's actually never smooth glass. The psychic reservoir of you just left by itself is always boiling. It's like Old Faithful, the geyser. It boils with discontentment. It boils with disappointment. It boils with anger, with insecurity. It boils with fear. It boils with lust. I know that. It just boils all the time. And so I think in college is when we start getting sophisticated enough to try to manage the psychic reservoir. We try to manage the boil. And we do that with all sorts of self-salvation strategies. And that can be everything from the kind of therapy we do to the kind of schedule we keep, the kind of grades we make, the kind of job we hope to land. They're all essentially self-salvation strategies to manage the boil. It's like, do you know the movie Fantasia? You remember Mickey Mouse? What does he do? It's, you know, you got to manage this thing. So what do? You open up the wizard book and you wave the wand and you're not managing the water very well. Now it's to that Jesus says, come to me. Consider your soul. Are you deeply weary? Come to me and I will give you rest. Now when he says come to me, that's also an invitation to consider me. Jesus is saying, really consider who I am. If you're fragile and burdened, know this, fragile people. I'm gentle and I'm humble. You can trust me. You know, the older I get, the more I have learned, and it's an ongoing deep learning, that Jesus is more beautiful and wise than I remembered. And I forget how wise and kind and beautiful he is. As his word washes over me, as the community of the church speaks into my life, I just keep experiencing it as wiser and wiser. And by the way, this language of rest is tied, I think, to this idea of a gentle path. I'm going to read you something from the prophet Jeremiah that I think Jesus is actually echoing here. This is Jeremiah 6, verse 16. The Lord says this, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for ancient paths where the good way lies, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Ancient paths. You see, the way of Jesus is an ancient path that people for thousands of years find, credible people find. You really can trust him. He's gentle. He really will not let you down. You stand at the crossroad and find the path. And I don't want to assume that everybody here has found that path. There may be some of you, you're here because, frankly, you're exploring this. And I want to encourage you to keep doing this. Maybe even consider becoming part of a small group, doing something that enables you to take a walk and see that it's a good path. Trigvi mentioned that I was a church planter in New York City. I was actually not just New York. I was in Greenwich Village, which is, despite me, the cool part of town. I don't know if you've ever been to New York City and Greenwich Village, but it's the bohemian part of town. A great place to plant a church. But the great thing about Greenwich Village, it's the oldest part of town, or one of the oldest parts of town, and Manhattan's on a grid. You know, if you ever go to New York, it's just a grid straight up and down, easy to find, except for the Village, which is, in the deepest sense of the word, off the grid. And the roads are not grid-like. They're all squiggly, and it's so hilarious to live there and watch the tourists, you know, walking around, Bob, do you know where we are? You know, they get lost in the Village because it's off the grid. But if you're a native and you live there, you learn the paths. They were actually created by Native Americans over hundreds of years, the roads of the Village. They're these well-worn paths. And let me tell you, once you learn them, they really work. And that's the way Jesus talks about a rest. It says, trust me, I know you, I know life, come to me. And I will give you a deep rest. Now, lastly, I think Jesus is saying to us, first of all, consider the state of your soul, consider me, and then last minute, Jesus is saying, come, take the yoke. Now, that's not an everyday kind of invitation. Take the yoke. That's an ox metaphor, right? And what you need to see is that it's not a yoke just for you. Hey, come be my slave while I have a drink. It's he's wearing the yoke. He is God come into yoke saying, come here next to me. And what I want to promise you is, yeah, it's a yoke. You're going to go where I go. But it's easy, which means it's not an off-the-rack yoke. You know, it's fitted so as not to chafe. It's a fitted yoke. Come into this fitted yoke. It's easy. And learn from me. Be my yoke mate. Learn how to live by letting me live with you 24/7. Watch how I do it. And instead of you trying to manage that boiling psychic reservoir, let me calm your waters with grace upon grace. Malcolm Gladwell has a great book in your spare time for reading, please read it, called Outliers. It looks at great creative geniuses and how they work. And one of the things he says is that to master anything, he has what he calls the 10,000-hour rule. Basically, you need 10,000 hours to master anything. So, thinking about playing the piano, just need to schedule about 10,000 hours. French, 10,000 hours. Right? That's what you need. Now, I think that's very much what the invitation to follow Jesus is like. And I'm going to use one quick example, forgiveness, which is probably something you struggle with if you're at all like me. How does it work? Well, you know, you think about Christianity and forgiveness, and we start off with this cross, and we say, oh, yes, I am forgiven. And that's true. But here's where Jesus is so wise. He doesn't just forgive you. He says, come into this yoke with me. And I'm going to take you places where you are now going to need to forgive people. It is going to feel really unnatural, but trust me, I forgive you. And as my forgiveness comes into your life, we're going to do this over and over and over again. And what I promise you is that you will actually become a forgiveness person, a deeply forgiven, deeply forgiving person. And you'll start to learn that hate is soul-killing and forgiveness and love are life-giving, and it's not just about you. God wants to do this beyond you. That's the beauty of the gospel. It starts with you. It never stays with you. So here's his invitation. Where's your soul? How's your reservoir doing? Consider him. Be in yoke with him. Let him take you to the places that are the good paths. Let me pray for you. And now, gracious Lord, lead us all into a deeper experience a deeper sharing of that life that to know is true life. We ask this in the name of the gentle one, Jesus. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thank you.